Praise God. There's so much of things I don't understand.
Right.
I've said often, just talking about the circumstances of life and what came our way or came the children's way, that it's just impossible to understand why some things are like they are. Amen. Right. But I do know one thing, and I understand that. Amen. And Jesus is always there. He's always willing. Amen. Always, and He's always able. I mean, a lot of times I'd like to have done something for someone, but I wasn't capable. I didn't have the ability or perhaps the resources, amen, to do what needed to be done. Amen. But I got a Lord who's the God of glory.
Yes.
Amen. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. Praise God. There's nothing that He cannot do.
Right.
Amen. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the taters under the hills. Praise God. And He's worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Praise God. I love Him. I appreciate Him. Glory to God. That G chord. Praise God. I got an old song on my heart. Y'all have to bear with me. Amen. It's so old, I forgot how to sing it. Praise God. Oh, how happy I will be when life's journey here is run. When I look upon His face, I hear Him say, well done. You fought a faithful fight, and my child, you kept the faith. Enter in, my joys are yours. Don't you step inside the gate. Inside the gate. Inside the gate. Come home. Sweet home. No more to die. No more to cry. The crown of life. You've won, you're safe at last. All sorrow past, a mansion here, forevermore. Yes, all of this, I'll hear Him say, when I step inside the gate. Inside the gate,
inside the gate,
inside the gate of home. Sweet home, no more to die,
no more to cry,
the crown of life, you've won, you're safe at last, all sorrow past, a mansion here, forevermore, yes, all of this, I'll hear Him say. When I step inside the gate, will I look for mother dear, and I'll look for daddy too. Sisters, brothers will be there, heaven's joy with them I'll share. I'll hear little David play, meet my Jesus on that day. Heaven's blessing for me awaits, when I step inside the gate. Inside the gate. Inside the gate of home, sweet home, no more to die, no more to cry, the crown of life, you've won, you're safe at last, all sorrow past, a mansion here, forevermore, yes, all of this. Hear Him say, when I step inside the gate, inside the gate,
inside the gate,
inside the gate of home,
sweet home,
no more to die, no more to cry, the crown of life, you've won, you're safe at last. All sorrow past, a mansion here, forevermore.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, all of this, I'll hear Him say, when I step inside the gate. I'll lift your hands and give Him praise.
Oh,
praise
glory,
God.
Glory, glory, glory.
Praise God. Just a few steps from here. Amen. We often say just one heartbeat between us and eternity. One breath of air between us and glory.
Yes.
But you know, it's just one footstep between us and eternity.
Yes.
Amen. We could be taking a step right here, Brother Freddie. Amen. And then we could make our landing step inside the gate.
Praise God. Right.
Inside the gate where sorrow is past.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I never lived in a land without sorrow. Praise
right,
God, but I'm
right.
Looking forward to trying it out. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise God. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6? Galatians chapter 6. I want to preach to you there. Amen. I appreciate you. We love you. Glory to God. And we've been looking forward to being with you. And a privilege to always been a privilege to be with y'all. And we count it that way again. Praise God. I'm a terrible preliminary person. I can dig a bigger hole in a few moments than it takes five preachers to preach out of. Praise God. So the best thing I can do probably is just go ahead and do what I need to do.
Blessing God.
And we appreciate you. I want you to know that. I find often that I don't have the words to say what I'd like to say to God's people. And they mean more to me than I could possibly express. Especially with my limited facilities. Praise God. But we love you. We love you. We enjoy being with you. Praise God. I'd like to read to you a poem. And I appreciate that folks are standing. I will have you stand for the Word of God. It's a short poem by Edward Rowland Seale. Of a page long, if that's short. And it's called The Fool's Prayer. The royal feast was done. The king sought some new sport to banish care. And to his jester cried, "Sir fool, kneel now and make for us a prayer." The jester doffed his cap and bells and stood the mocking court before. They could not see the bitter smile behind the painted grin he wore. He bowed his head and bent his knee upon the monarch's silken stool. His pleading voice arose, "O Lord, be merciful to me, a fool. No pity, Lord, could change the heart from red with wrong to white as wool. The rod must heal the sin, but Lord, be merciful to me, a fool. 'Tis not by guilt the onward sweep of truth and right, O Lord, we stay. 'Tis by our follies that so long we hold the earth from a heaven away. These clumsy feet, still in the mire, go crushing blossoms without end. These hard, well-meaning hands we thrust among the heartstrings of a friend. The ill-timed truth we might have kept, who knows how sharp it pierced and stung. The word we had not sense to say, who knows how grandly it had rung. Our faults no tenderness should ask. The chastening stripes must cleanse them all. But for our blunders, oh, in shame, before the eyes of heaven we fall. Earth bears no balm for mistakes. Men crown the knave and scourge the tool that did his will. But thou, O Lord, be merciful to me, a fool." The room was hushed, and silence rose the king and sought his gardens cool. And walked apart and murmured low, "Be merciful to me, a fool." My favorite verses are a couple in the center of the poem, because I find out that they describe me. These clumsy feet, still in the mire, go crushing blossoms without end. These hard, well-meaning hands I thrust among the heartstrings of a friend. The ill-timed truth I might have kept, who knows how sharp it pierced and stung. And the word I had not sense to say, who knows how gladly it would have rung. Praise God. And Brother Baker, I find myself, amen, with clumsy feet still in the mire. And I find that I crush blossoms, it seemingly without end. Amen. And
and hard, well-meaning hands, it seems like I thrust among the heartstrings of a friend. Praise God. Yes. I count that the Lord understands. Amen. That sometimes that I mean to do differently, but things don't seem like you turn out that way. Praise God. But oh, be merciful to me, a fool. You understand that when the Lord was talking about those men praying, and he talked about the Pharisee praying, and the Pharisee said, you know, I thank God that I'm not like this man. But that man said, be merciful to me. Praise God, a sinner.
Yes.
Lord God, be merciful to me.
Merciful, Lord.
Praise God. I need His mercy, don't you?
Yes.
Lord of God. In Galatians chapter number 6, I'd like to read a couple of three verses. Let's just start at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Praise God. Would you help me pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, for your precious word. And we're thankful, God, for all the things that have been said and done already in the house of God. And I pray, Lord, that you draw us nigh, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you for this church, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just open the windows of glory, Lord, and pour out in our souls today, God, the things that you desire us to know, Lord. Work on us, God. Work on us, Holy Ghost. Just do your will, Lord, in our hearts, God. Let us drop every binding, every wall, Lord, that forbids your entrance, Lord. And open our hearts wide, God, that you might come in and do your perfect work, Lord. Bless this word, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Praise God. Thank you for standing. Praise God. I'd like to preach to you about this. Amen. In Paul's writing in the last part of this book, he closes this book with the statement in verse 17 that henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. The Lord has given me this message lately, and I have preached it in several different places. And so I want you to understand that as many times as I preach this, I've always felt its power. Amen. And dealing with my own heart, and I trust, amen, it will be for yours too. I know Paul, when he's talking here, amen, he's not referring to things that were put there, amen, by his will. He wasn't talking about just marking upon himself the marks that he bare in his body.
Yes.
Amen, there weren't just scribblings or doodlings,
right.
Amen, done with a pen. Right. It wasn't just something that was a frivolous in nature at all.
Right.
Amen. As a matter of fact, it wasn't a tattoo, Lord
right.
of God.
Right.
I need to let you know that.
Right.
I need to let you know that because there is a doctrine going around right now that that they are such things as holy tattoos.
Well,
and that is marking the body. Amen. Taking a portion of a scripture and having it tattooed upon your flesh.
Yeah.
I know this because one of my children has become involved in this. Amen.
Right.
And I know it because it's such a terror and such a horrible thought to my own soul.
Yeah.
Amen. Paul was not speaking, amen, of just marking yourself.
Right.
He was talking about the marks that he received, amen, for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He was talking about things that came his way that he didn't want to have. Amen. A man lays down on that. I don't even know how they do it, but I imagine they lay down on some table and they tattoo their body. Amen. Paul did not, amen, do that. He didn't make an appointment for the marks on his body.
Right.
Amen. As a matter of fact, the book of Leviticus says in 19 and 28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Praise God. And we need to know that, church. Praise God. And I, we're living in, and the distorting of truth. Praise God. We need to know that the marks on Paul's body, amen, were marks according to the gospel. Praise God.
Yes.
You know what Paul's talking about here is the scars that he has on his body. He's talking about what happened. Hey, man, that remained. Praise God. Every scar, no matter who it is or what the situation is, every scar has a story behind it. Praise God. Now, and of all this group, the children have gone away except for Grace. Amen. And I reckon that's the only one I see except for Freddie. Freddie and Grace. Praise God. Only children that remain. But I like to know that there's not one of us here that have not been scarred in some way or another.
Right.
We all have scars. I mean, it's just part of life that you get scars. And to let you know, really, the fact of the matter is, and we talk a lot about scars, and I'm going to talk about it in this manner of speaking, but scars are really a good thing. Praise God. You see, scars are the result of a wound that's been healed. Amen. If you don't have a scar, you're in trouble because the wound is still active. Glory to God. And so when Paul's looking at these things and he can gaze upon his body, and I'm going to go over them in just a minute if the Lord will help me. Praise God. I want you to know that these scars, each one will have a story. And Paul will tell us of this, a little bit about this story. Amen. But there are two types of scars. We have scars on the outside. Hey, Ben, that's the ones anybody can see. I got a place on my lip right there. Hey, Ben, where I went outside with wet hands in a rainstorm with a dull hatchet. Hey, Ben, and went to fasten the door that led to the crawl space. And I swung back with that with wet hands. Don't ever handle an axe with wet hands. Praise God. I swung that thing. And when I swung it, it hit that piece of wood and bounced right back in my lip. Praise God. And I got a scar. My wife has got a scar on her wrist where she was washing dishes as a little girl. And she had a great big bowl, and the bowl slipped out of her hands and it fell and broke and cut her wrist and cut the leaders. Tendons in her hand that her hand wouldn't operate, and had to go and sew her back together. And she's sewed back together pretty good, I think. Praise God. But she's got a scar on her wrist. Lord God. And that'll always be there unless the Lord takes it away. Hey, Ben, so you probably got one or two. Hey, Ben, you're past 21 now. Hey, Ben, you probably got a scar or two. Praise God. And when those scars come, my mama had her fingers cut off with a double-bitted axe, and they put her fingers back on. But she's got scars by that. Praise God. My dad was burned in a mine explosion in 1965, and he's got the scars of those burns on his arms. He's missing part of his ear because he gave it to the flames. Amen. And there's scars that we have. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I remember the first time I thought about scars is when I figured out that they were actually girls in the world that was worth worrying about. Praise God. Yeah. I mean, I had a sister, and me and a sister, that's different. Praise God. I mean, I pulled her hair and threw rocks at her, and she'd pull my hair and throw rocks at me. Praise God. And I hit her with an alarm clock and gave her a scar she still got today. First time she saw time fly. Amen. Now, when I figured out that, you know, when I went into the romance business,
yeah.
I looked into the mirror. And that was a bad start. Praise God. When I looked in there, I realized I didn't have much to work with. And so I tried to find something that would accentuate my possibilities. Praise God. And so I started searching my body for scars. I wanted a real tough looking scar. You know, I wanted something that would be, God help me preach a minute, ain't you? I wanted something that'd be impressive, you know. And so I started checking myself out, and I had this little scar on my left wrist. I still got it today. Amen. And I thought about using that one. You know, you can make anything stand out if you try hard enough. Praise God. And I could pose in all kinds of ways to get that scar out there in the front. But then there's a story behind the scar. And the more I thought about this, the more I didn't want that scar. Because I got that scar running from a honeybee. Praise God. And it just didn't make a good story running from a honeybee. Amen. When I joined the United States Army, they checked us all out, see what kind of scars we had. And they would mark them down. That was in case you were killed in battle, that they could identify your remains and so forth. And so I went through there and they marked that little scar I had on my wrist. I've done better since then. I got a lot more scars than I had when I was 18. But I had that little scar there and they marked it down. And then there's some scars that really have meaning to them. And my friend Ralph Vance joined the service with me and he was right behind me. And when they inducted him into the service, they noticed that he had a bullet wound in his thigh. Praise God. Now that's a scar. Between the honeybee scar and the bullet wound scar, Ralph had the scar. Praise God. But Ralph's story wasn't any better than mine. Ralph had read so many Lewis L'Amour books that he thought he was a gunslinger. And he'd been out back practicing quick draw, and he had the holster strapped down. Praise God. And when he went to grab the gun, he pulled the trigger before he got it out of the holster, and he shot himself in the thigh. Glory to God. That's just kind of the way it is. But they're the inside scars. Those on the inside. Could I be brave enough to say that those are the scars that hurt more? Those are the scars that should be invisible, but often they're not. Amen. Help me preach a minute. Praise God. Let me read to you about Paul's account of some of his scars. And could you just imagine in your mind whether this is an inside scar or an outside scar? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Yeah. Praise God. Paul begins to enumerate the things, and these are only part of the things that Paul has suffered. Amen. If you go through the scripture, you'll find even more. Amen. But I want you to know, amen, as Paul begins to list the things that he has suffered here, amen, he goes down to the bottom, amen, and he says this. He says, who is weak and I'm not weak, and who is offended and I burn not? In other words, he's saying, I do feel what people say, and I do react to what people say, but I've made my mind up that if I'm going to glory, amen, I'm going to glory of the things which concern my infirmities, amen. In other words, what he's saying is, amen, I'm going to take these scars and I'm going to give them to Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to take these things that are so detrimental to me, amen, have been such a pain in my life, amen, if I'm going to say something about them, it's going to be to the glory of God. Amen, it's not going to be to the tearing down of the kingdom of God. It's going to be to the lifting up of the work of God. Amen. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Amen. Could you imagine? Amen. Paul has a choice there that we all have. He could say, woe is me, for I have been done wrong. Amen. That's one reaction. And the other reaction is, glory be. Jesus is my Lord. Praise God. You know, everything in life comes our way. We have the responsibility and also the opportunity, amen, to take whatever comes our way, amen, and make it determine how it affects us in life. Amen. We can take the things that are meant to be our harm and give them unto Jesus. Amen. And you know what he does, don't you? He can take this trial and make it a blessing, glory to God. He can take the things that look like they'd be no good to anybody, amen, and turn them around and make them a glory to the house of God. Hallelujah.
That is right.
Glory to God.
Thank you,
oh,
Lord.
Jesus, help me. Paul said, amen, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, one of the reasons for the things that you suffer. Blessed be God in verse 3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I got something to tell them. Amen, because I've been there.
Yes.
Come on now, help me preach a minute.
Yes. That's right.
I have been blessed with a gout. Anybody else had a blessing of gout? It's hard to shout when you got the gout. Praise God. And I, in my 20s, I got the gout. And they didn't know what it was, Sister Margaret. They fooled around with me and poked me and prodded me, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And I went to this Filipino doctor by the name of Bendigo. And Bendigo, when he checked me out, he didn't know what was wrong with me either. And I know it wasn't psycho, whatever. Praise God. I knew I wasn't psycho, Lord God, or however you say that other word. Yeah, because my foot was great big and my pain was even bigger. Praise God. And I knew it wasn't something in my mind. It was in my foot. Praise God. And he couldn't figure it out. And Sister Melissa, I went back the next time to see the same doctor. And when I walked in, he come hobbling over to me. Praise God. And he said, I know what's wrong with you. And I said, well, that's good. And he said, you've got the gout. He said, I've had the gout ever since you left the last time. And he said, I know what you have. Praise God. You talk about a doctor. And Brother Ben, I had a doctor. Amen. He was in the midst of the same problem that I had. Amen. He would have done anything in all the world to help me. Amen. He hurt like I hurt. Amen. He knew what I knew. Amen. He bring out that a prescription pad and write some indecision out. Hey, man, that's a real heavy, kind of like a Advil. Hey, man, he would write that out, and then he would write colchicine and all that stuff that make you sick as a dog. Hey, man, but after a while, you got better if you didn't die. Hallelujah.
Yeah. All right.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
Right.
I like old preachers. Hey, man, I love old preachers.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because when I go to them and I look them dead in the eye, amen, I can see something lurking back there. Ah, come on.
Yeah.
Amen. You know how old preachers got that? By being young preachers.
Yeah. Right.
That's the way they get that stuff.
Yeah.
Praise God. They get that by being young preachers. Amen. Glory. Y'all help me preach a minute.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I'm 55 years old here in a little bit. Man alive, I'm 55. Praise God. I remember when it used to be drive 55 and stay alive. Y'all remember that? Praise God. Once I was young, now I'm old. Praise God. And sometimes, amen, God gives me a little insight on something. And I believe it's what God has done with this message right here. Because I've come to ask you a question. And I want to know what your answer's going to be. I want to know, what are you going to do with your scars? Which way are you going to let them push you? You're going to let them push you on closer to heaven? Or let you push you closer to hell?
Yeah.
Is it going to be an excuse to get closer to God? Or an excuse to find fault with God? Is it going to be an excuse, amen, to draw the church up tight against you and say, oh, amen, I need my brothers and sisters more than I ever needed them in all my life? Or is it going to be an excuse, amen, to find fault with everything that goes on? Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Lord God. Hallelujah. There was I read an illustration, an illustration book about this man, and I guess it's a true story. Some illustrations I don't know about, but this has got a true ring to it. And it said this guy was raised in a preacher's house, preacher's boy, raised in a parsonage. And it said on January the 1st, 1968, said he failed God. Amen. Brother Johnny, that's awful. I've done it. And he said he knew he broke the heart of God. It's God. And he said when he knew that, Brother Slim, he said he needed to take care of it. And said he went to an altar of prayer and he prayed on January the 1st, 1968. And he said it just didn't feel right. And so he prayed on January the 2nd and January the 3rd and January the 4th. And he kept on going and it would come back to him through the years, Brother Ben, and he began to think about that day one more time, and he prayed. Eventually, he grew up and married, and even in his married life, this thing would begin to bother him again. And he prayed, wanting to know how to get rid of it. And he said, one night he had a dream. And he said, in his dream, the Lord came to him, and he was carrying a book. And said the book was the book of this young man's life. And said on the top of the book where he could read it was January the 1st, 1968. Praise God. And he said such a fear gripped his heart because he kind of knew what was on there. Hey, Ben, and he knew that thing that he dreaded so long. Hey, Ben, he knew that the Lord was going to turn that book to him. And said when he turned that book to him, he almost didn't look. And when he looked at the top of that date and dropped his eyes down below it, hey, Ben, there wasn't anything on the page. Glory to God. And he said, Lord, how come on January the 1st, 1968, you know what I did? Yeah. And he said, yeah, but you asked me on January the 1st, 1968 for forgiveness of sin. Amen. Yeah. And he said, I took my blood and I wiped that page clean. Hallelujah. Woo! I wiped that page clean. Lord God. You know, we know that, don't we? Praise God. But this man asked a real intelligent question as the Lord got ready to turn and go out. And he said, Lord, can I ask you one more thing? And he said, yeah, what is that? And he said, if I am forgiven, and I know I am because you've told me, but said, how come that this feeling is still in my heart and my mind still goes back to that day and I have in my heart the scar of that day? You could take it away from me. I know you could, Lord. How come you leave it inside of me? And said, the Lord looked at him and said, son, as long as I leave that scar in you, amen, it is to warn you never to go that route again. And it's to warn you to keep your family away from that route. Keep your children away from that. Amen. That scar is left there, not for torment, amen, but for direction, glory to God. Right. Hallelujah. Right. Oh, God. Oh, God. Your epistles written in flesh. Our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, Paul said.
Yes.
For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tablets of the heart.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Have I told you lately that Brother Freddie shot me? Amen. He shot me with a nail gun. Praise God. He said there wasn't any forethought or malice about it. Amen. But look at him grin. Praise God. That didn't leave a scar. That didn't leave a scar at all. Amen. Now, I was a young preacher. I wandered through some places. Back a long time ago. And I let things bother me. And I got bitter. Y'all help me preach a minute, would you? I got bitter. I didn't trust nobody. Good men and good women. I could find fault with anybody, especially with me. Help me preach a minute. There's a guy in California that got killed here, and that he killed some folks, and he was a black man. And he committed murders, and his manifesto that he had written, he traced back the history of why he'd done it, and said when he was in kindergarten or the first grade, someone had made a racial comment about him. That's a long time, ain't it? Man was almost as old as I am. I don't remember much about the first grade except I couldn't tie my shoes. I do remember that. The principal had to tie my shoes. I remember that. But I know somebody probably said something hateful to me. And I probably deserved a lot of it. But my mom used to say it like this, and she still does. You got any scab pickers here? Raise your hand if you're a scab picker. Huh. No hands. And all of my life, I've been a scab picker. Now, what that means is when I would get hurt and the blood would come out, then, you know, the scab would scab over. And then my mama would catch me over to the side digging at that scab. Y'all help me preach a minute. There's a lot more of you scab pickers than you're really telling the truth about now. And she say, Eddie, if you don't quit picking at that, it's going to be a running sore. You know she's right. That man that had that slur against him when he was in the kindergarten or first grade, he just kept picking at it. He wore that like a chip on his shoulder. And everything in life then got viewed through that chip. Amen. Good morning. Isn't it a bright day out? What do you mean bright? Are you saying something because I'm black? No, I'm just saying it's a nice day out. Come on now, let me preach a minute. You see, the reason I know so much about this is because I had this chip on my shoulder. And everything I saw through this chip. Woo! Y'all may not let me come back this evening, but I got to preach to you. I found this guy you know what really started this whole thing? I was studying for a message on midnight. Amen. I was reading this guy's comments. And in his comments about midnight, he said, sometimes our pain needs to be turned into a pulpit. Woo! I just dropped midnight. And I started going on that. Then I thought, you know, there's times when our hurts need to be turned into hallelujahs. And there's times when our trials need to be turned into triumph. Praise God. Come on now, help me preach a minute. Glory to God. But it's up to us which way we turn those things. Amen. If we give them to Jesus, amen, He'll heal them. Y'all help me preach, please. I found this guy in the scripture in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Listen to this man. Would you agree with me that this is a very scarred man? And when he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Praise God. Oh, can you imagine the sorrow of this man's heart? He'd been the markings on his body. He was always crying and cutting himself. One place the Bible says he ran around without his clothes. Amen. And I want you to know, amen, that the devil had isolated him. He had put him in this place. Amen. And he caused him to rebel. Amen. It caused him to be restless, because night and day, he roamed those tombs and he roamed those mountains, cutting himself. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. I worked in a prison where there were self-mutilators. And I'd ask them, I'd say, why? Why do you take those things and cut places on you? Amen. I had one man, Alan Rife, told me. Alan said, listen to me, preacher. He said, can't you hear those voices? They're telling me right now to cut myself. I didn't hear nothing. I didn't hear a thing. And those voices were on the inside of him. Amen. I never heard of one of them. Y'all help me preach a minute. Praise God. And this man that we call Legion, and he is not Legion. And that was a response of the devil out of him. His name was Ben. His name was Eddie. Amen. His name was Freddie. His name was Slim. Praise God. Some way or another, he had a regular name just like we do. Amen. And some way or another, men could not bind him. Amen. But something had actually bound him, because it bound him to that old tomb. And it bound him to those mountains. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scarred inside and scarred outside. When the Lord dealt with his problem, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, they come to see Jesus, and him that was possessed with the devil. Oh, I like that. He was possessed. And had the legion sitting and clothed. And in his right mind.
Yes.
Sitting. Man, you ever had the devil run you to death chasing some foolishness?
Yeah.
Amen. And God deliver you from it, and you can finally sit down.
Yeah. Right.
Glory, glory, glory. Right. Said he was clothed. Clothed. All parts of his body were mutilated. I feel beyond the shadow of doubt that he, any place he could have reached,
right,
he'd cut on.
Yeah.
Amen. Do you know there's some scars that shouldn't be seen?
Right.
Oh, help me preach a minute.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Y'all act like I'm picking on you.
Come on.
Praise God.
Come on.
I ain't picking on you. Hey, some scars that should never be seen.
Right.
Hey, some scars that need to be kept under the wraps.
Yeah.
Amen. Lest we discourage someone else.
Right.
Hit me, Lord.
Right.
Hey, some scars should never make it to an email.
Right.
They should never make a text message.
That's right.
They should never make an unlimited telephone call. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hit me, Lord. Hit me, Lord. Hit me, Lord.
Yes.
They should never be pinned down in a letter and sent. Now, come on now. Hit me, preach.
That's right.
There's some scars
that
need to just be covered.
Yes. That is right.
Hallelujah.
That is right. Oh, you're preaching right.
You know, in one place, you know, the Lord loved to heal on the Sabbath day.
Yes.
You know, I kind of believe he liked it so much because they hated it so much.
Yeah.
I really do. I think he just showed them who's boss. You know,
right.
I heal on the Sabbath day if I want to.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Exactly.
You remember that man with the withered hand came up there on the Sabbath day, and he was there among them, and the Lord said, is it right to heal on the Sabbath day or not? And they wouldn't answer him. He got mad at them. He looked around on them in anger, yeah. The Bible said. And he told that man, he said, stretch forth your hand. Yeah. Praise God. In another gospel, it said it was his right hand. It was his right hand that was withered. Praise God. Paul said in one place in the gospel, he said, they offered us the right hand of fellowship. Glory to God. What if this man, what if this withered hand man could be viewed as spiritually? Amen. What if it was so, amen, that he had broken fellowship? Amen. And God help me preach.
Yeah.
He couldn't find any good in anybody. Amen. There's something wrong. Amen. He was looking through a tainted glass. And that glass always made him feel like, amen, he never could be accepted. Glory.
Yeah. All right.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, yes.
The other part, I've read this years and years and years, but I finally found the best part about the story of Legion. And it's not in that verse I just read you. It's in verse chapter 5 and verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not. You see, this man wanted to just follow the Lord. He just wanted to follow him the rest of his days.
Yeah.
Go wherever the Lord went. But the Lord suffered him not.
Right.
Praise God. He suffered him not, but he saith unto him, go home to thy friends.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right.
He didn't even know he had any.
Come on.
He had lived isolated so long. He had lived scarred so long. Amen. He didn't even know he had a friend.
Right.
Praise God. I believe that was even more precious than sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
Right.
Is to find out that little wife was still waiting on him. And the children were still calling him daddy. Amen. And the father was still calling him son. And the mama was still calling him her little boy.
Yeah.
Amen. And the friends had never died off. And I want to tell you something, dear friend. If you're looking through, amen, to some sort of a distorted lens right now, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I love you with all of my heart. I want you to know that a lot of other folks love you. Amen. They have not turned away from you. Amen. They love you just as much as they ever did.
Hallelujah. That's right.
When we got married, Sister Linda, Sister Sue's girl, my wife's cousin said, Eddie's going to marry you and take you off in the middle of nowhere. And I did. I've been known to do that. I always lived at a place that's hard to get to. When I had that spell of bitterness when I was a young preacher, I lived at Short's Gap, Virginia, right on the county line between Buchanan and Tazewell County. Lived way up on the hill. The ruts was so deep you couldn't get up there in a vehicle. And that day in that old trailer, that old mobile home that I lived in with my wife and children, I carried that so long, Brother Ben, I couldn't carry it no longer. And I fell down on my knees there in that little trailer. And I said, God, I don't want this. I don't want this. Take this from me, Lord.
Yes.
I don't want to pick at it. I want to have that old time religion.
Yeah.
It makes you love everybody.
Yeah.
Makes you love everybody.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. I got up and praying. You know, sometimes when you get up and praying, I don't know. Some folks know the will of God 50 years off from now. I've never been that person. I struggle with
right.
that sometimes.
Right.
Amen. And sometimes I pray and I don't know if I've got through or not. Y'all help me preach
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And I'm just a regular old guy. Amen. I got a few scars. Praise God. And sometimes I just don't know. But I got through praying that day. Amen. And I walked out and sat on the front porch of this hard to get to place where I lived at. And when I sat there on the front porch, Lo and behold, there was a car pulled off down the road. And you don't come to my house unless you mean to. Even now, you don't just accidentally get there. Praise God. And they pulled off beside the road, and I saw him. Big old long, tall drink of water. Hey, Betty started coming up through the hill, dodging ruts. And he come up, and he sat down on the porch beside me. And he said, "Brother Eddie, how you doing?" And I said, "I don't know, but I ain't doing too good. Praise God." And his brother Philip Dean. Hey, Betty, come here and sat beside me on that porch. And he said, "Brother Eddie, I wanted to know if you could come and preach for me Sunday night." And I didn't even know I had a friend. You haven't forgotten, have you? You got a friend. You got a bunch of friends. Glory to God. This is what happened to you. Either your scars will paralyze you. They will make you stop from even attempting anything else for God.
All right.
I've been hurt. I'm not going that route no more.
Yeah.
Come on now. Help me preach.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It'll stop you dead in your tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be afraid to do anything.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. Or else, it'll make you bitter.
Yeah.
And like a contagious disease, it will affect your wife and your husband and your children and your neighbors. Help me, Lord.
Come on.
And it'll kill you.
Yeah.
Or, this is the last one where Paul said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. It can make you better.
Yes.
Make you stronger.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I got a preacher that I really love. And I have a bunch of them. Just one particular one I'm thinking about now. His whole ministry is built around a scar.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you ask Brother Ralph Lowry,
yeah,
and you say, "Brother Ralph, what is the worst thing that ever happened in your life?" He'll say, "When I was 18 years old,
yeah,
I killed my brother."
Yeah.
I had Brother Ralph on my heart the other day, and I called him, and when he answered the phone, I could tell, you know, there's something wrong. And he talked around for a little while. You know, we just, I don't know if women are like this, but men, we just don't jump in and say, you know, we're hurt or something's wrong. We'll say, "Coon dog's doing real good. My car's got a little miss in it. Praise God." But we got through the preliminaries. I said, "Why? What's going on?" And he said, "Eddie, I thought that this year it wouldn't bother me." He said, "Every year on the anniversary of my brother's death, I go take flowers and put them on his grave." And he said, "I thought this year, up to the day before, I thought I had it all handled." Brother Johnny said, "The next day, I got up, and it was that day, and I was carrying them flowers, trembling, to lay them on that brother's grave." And he said, "Eddie, I've had to live it all over again."
Yeah.
So I called him back a little while after that. I said, "What are you doing, Ralph?" He said, "I'm going to go preach a revival." Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know what? It's going to, some point in that revival, he's going to talk about that day.
Yeah.
And he's going to talk about that being in prison and being the illiterate, what he called himself, illiterate white trash.
Yeah.
Couldn't even read. And Somebody dropped him off a Bible. I'm going to preach his testimony.
Yeah.
Dropped him off a Bible and he couldn't even read. So there was a black prisoner who was next to the cell with him and said he was a drunk. And said he asked him, said, "Boy, what you got there?" And he said, "It's a Bible." And he said, "Won't you read something to us?" And he said, "Sir, I can't read." Hallelujah. And said, that old black man said, "Well, hand it through the bars and I'll read it." And so he had a drunk black man reading the Bible to a murderer.
Yeah.
Amen. And the Holy Ghost conviction moved.
Hallelujah.
And God saved him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can do with a scar. But the thing God wants you to do is give it to Him.
Yes.
If anybody's going to get anything out of it, the Lord can get something good out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Melissa, are you playing for me? Before you think I've just come to pick on you, some of you's come in late or out of your Sunday school classes, or I wasn't accusing, I just want to tell you something.
Come on.
This must be about the 8th time I've preached this message. And every time I do, I see somebody in a congregation. But the scars are eating them alive.
Yeah.
Could I tell you about some more scars? Could I tell you about a one that came from the throne of glory? Came down to a little manger outside of Bethlehem of Judea. There, the Bible said he lived all of his life without sin.
Right.
Not even guile found in his mouth. Amen. But because of what he was, he became my sin for me.
Yes.
And he took my sins to the cross of Calvary. And they lashed upon his back with a whip. And they pressed a crown of thorns down upon his head. And the blood flowed freely. They plucked his beard, I imagine, till the blood poured out of the pores.
Yes.
And they smote him. Blindfolded him and smote him. And then they took him to that old tree. They laid him down on that tree and they nailed nails in his hands and his feet. And they thrust a spear in his side. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Healed on the inside and healed on the outside. Do you know by His scars we are healed? Glory to God. Does He know what it means to be betrayed? Zechariah said in 13:6, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Let go of it. Let go of it. I was talking to to a friend of mine the other day, and he left the house of God. Broke my heart. I was trying to reason to him. If you can just give it to Jesus, He can take it and do something to your benefit with it. Lord God, let's stand, would you? Heavenly Father, I've done my best to preach. His falterings and failures, Lord, are mine. But this message, Lord, you've given me. Lord, these are my brothers and sisters. These are my friends. These are the folks, Lord, that have cheered me when I'm down, Lord. And if there's one of them today, Lord, that has a wound, I pray, Lord, that you'd heal it. If they have a scar, Lord, that is turning their lives in the wrong direction, Lord, I pray that you'd heal it. Draw us nigh to you, Lord. Draw us nigh to this cross, Lord. We'll fail not to give you the praise and honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's find us a place and pray. You know where you pray the best at. If you walk and pray the best, then walk and pray. If you need to lay down before the Lord, lay down before the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord a little while.
Explain from a world that healed me, but He'll take you underneath His wings and restore your broken dreams. He'll love you like no other. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. Oh, no one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Hands that touch the blind, the lame, suffered so much pain from a world that cruelly pierced them. But from His hands flowed liquid love with power from above, bringing hope and restoration. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Life doesn't kiss away the pain, the hurt you can't explain. A world that left you lonely, oh, but He'll take you underneath His wings. He'll restore your broken dreams. He'll love you like no other. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Hands that touch the blind, the lame, that suffered so much pain from a world that cruelly pierced them. But from His hands flowed liquid love, like power from above, bringing hope and restoration. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Life doesn't kiss away the pain, all the hurt you can't explain. When the world has left you lonely, oh, but He'll take you underneath His wings. He'll restore your broken dreams. He'll love you like no other. No one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Life doesn't kiss away the pain, the hurt you can't explain. When the world has left you lonely, oh, but He'll take you underneath His wings. He'll restore your broken dreams. He'll love you like no other. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, hands that touched the blind, the lame. They suffered so much pain from a world that cruelly pierced them. Oh, but from His hands flowed liquid love, like power from above, bringing hope and restoration. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Life doesn't kiss away the pain, all the hurt you can't explain, from a world that's left you lonely. Oh, but He'll take you underneath His wings. He'll restore your broken dreams. He will love you like no other. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, life doesn't kiss away the pain, all the hurt you can't explain, from a world that's left you lonely. Oh, but He'll take you underneath His wings. He'll restore your broken dreams. He'll open the other. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hand. No one can touch you like Jesus can. Life doesn't kiss away the pain, the hurt you can't explain, when the world has left you lonely. Oh, but He'll take you underneath His wings. He'll restore your broken dreams. He will love you like no other. Oh, no one can touch you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you cannot understand. No one can bind the wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus can.